Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Mimiverse Monthly Audiocast. I am your host, writer, director, Christopher R. Mim, the man behind the movies upon which this podcast is based. I hope you're having a fine day, year, month, whatever. Are you there? Are you listening? So as we get going here, I want to say that I am a bit under the weather as I record this. A little bit of a head cold. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but there's definitely something a-brewing in my sinuses. So please forgive me if I seem spacey and or extra nasally. I'm not doing that on purpose, of course, but it's there. I will count myself lucky because everyone else in my house has a horrific cough that seems to go with this affliction, but I seem to have avoided a lot of that. Instead, I just have serious pressure in my face. So there's that. But I say we skip over everything else and jump right into really the only thing worth talking about right now, or at least the most important thing worth talking about. And that is, if you did not see the special video released yesterday on Halloween. And you know what? Here's the thing. Usually when we do special videos on Halloween, I take them down. In the past, they've always been an edited scene from the new movie coming out next year. And since I have not filmed anything, instead, I decided to use that opportunity for when people were paying attention to announce the next Mimiverse film. And I think I'm going to leave that video up because why not? It doesn't really give anything away. It's pretty exciting, and I want people to see it because it is kind of funny. There's an appearance in it by Steve, of course, from Danny Johnson Saves the World, but you knew that. And myself, which was recorded when I felt better. It tells you everything you need to know, but I'm going to reiterate everything that was said in it just in case you did not hear it. In this day and age, it's really funny that with the internet, there are so many different ways that people find out information, from Facebook to Twitter, websites, YouTube, Instagram, or whatever the kids are into these days, the kids, which makes me sound old. And I'm really not that old, but technology moving at the speed it does, it's pretty hard to keep up if you're over 25. Anyway, in the video, the big thing that I've revealed is the name of my next film. Last month, I talked a lot about shifting the schedule from May to May to October, October. Well, this month, I'm going to tell you what it is I'm making. The next Mimiverse film, which is currently scripting and will ideally go before cameras shortly after the first of next year, is Weresquito Nazi Hunter, which might require a little explanation as to what a Weresquito is and why he's hunting Nazis. It goes like this. A Weresquito is where you take the concept of a werewolf, which I know you know what that is, so I'm not going to insult your intelligence by telling you what that is. But instead of turning into a wolf, a man turns into a mosquito monster, much like the fly, but a mosquito. And so, according to the rules of this particular film, this man, who has no name as of yet, is a World War II soldier, an American, who was captured by the Nazis and experimented on by an evil doctor because Nazis are terrible and they did weird experiments. And in the world of cinema, especially 50s style B movies, things are caused by radiation. You can always use radiation as a fallback. Nazis are bad and they did horrible things in reality, but also work cinematically as bad guys because they did, in fact, do human experimentation. So it's not that far-fetched. So when in doubt, radiation, or you can use Nazis. I haven't done Nazis yet. This American soldier was captured and experimented on and for some reason turned into a Weresquito. I figure it's probably just for the twisted Nazi doctor's own, you know, just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you should do a thing, but he wants to do the thing anyway. His own entertainment. His own human centipedeness, I guess. And, of course, the war ends in the Allies' favor, and the Weresquito survives. but of course is now stuck with this affliction of whenever he sees fresh blood is important, fresh blood, he turns into the weremosquito and must feed. In nature, it's the females who feed on blood, but it's a 50s style B movie. You don't need logic. I always find it funny when people get bent out of shape over details like that. Because a lot of times when you have these fantastic movies with these crazy plots or these outlandish ideas, people will wholeheartedly accept some of them, but not all of them, which is ridiculous if you think about it, because it's all ridiculous. So if you can suspend your disbelief to a certain extent, why can't you then go that much further? You know? Anyway, what happens is this soldier survives and comes back to the U.S., sort of lives in the shadows, much like the Incredible Hulk, trying to hide his affliction and find a way to control it. And then in the meantime, decides that the best use of his affliction is to hunt down the people responsible and bring them to justice in any way possible. I talked last month about the shift in production times. Doing October to October, which gives me this period from November to December to write the film when everyone else is mired in holiday preparations. So that's what I'm going to be doing for the next, 2 months, is getting this script down to where I want it to be while also working with my behind-the-scenes folks to get everything rolling so we can start filming as early as January, ideally. I have a couple of casting choices already made, but only one will I reveal right now, and because I have talked to him and he's absolutely in, and that's James Norgaard, Mr. Dear God No, James Norgaard. I won't tell you who he's playing, but he won't be playing a character he has played before. Here's the thing about this. As I go into the second decade of Mimiverse films, since I made 10 and this would be 11, unless you're, you know, some people argue with me that they think that this would technically be my 12th film because the late night double feature was actually two movies. However, I treat it as one because I would never separate them. The first film of the second decade of the Mimiverse, this film, Weremosquito, Nazi Hunter, my first sympathetic monster movie. I want to expand the Mimiverse, and I'm not saying some familiar faces won't show up at some point over the next 10 years. They will. But for this one, I'm going to separate it out and create 99% all new characters and situations, even a new location. They'll still be tied in, don't worry. It'll still be part of the Mimiverse, and there will be some very cool ties. But I'm making a conscious effort to start a new thread, as it were. Because I could easily make another Danny Johnson movie, if you wanted. I could easily make another Dr. Gabriel and Dr. Edwards film, which I still plan on doing that at some point. I could make Destination Outer Space 2, maybe. Right now, because I want to kind of start over while not starting over, I'm going to do something that's a little separate, but not different. Not disconnected. Still part of everything, but not completely new. But new. Ugh, I'm sick. I don't know. I'm not making any sense, I'm sure. But I think you're following me. If you've listened to all of the previous 12 episodes of this audiocast, of which this is in essence the first of the new season. I mean, we've done 12, this is number 13. You can probably follow me pretty well by this point because you've been doing it for a year. And for that, I'd like to thank you very much for listening. I didn't honestly know if this would work, this podcast thing here, but I've enjoyed it, and I plan to continue it. So keep listening, tell everyone you know, and pass around the films of the Mimiverse whenever you get a chance. So yes, that is the big news. Weremosquito Nazi Hunter, currently in pre-production, with an eye toward a release date of next October, preferably early in October, so that we can take advantage of all the fun events that take place in October. And then, once October is over, we can start working on the next movie, whatever that may be. We'll see. We'll see what I feel like at that point. So that is, as they say, that. So that is the big news this month. New movie coming out. And of course, the most important thing I must do at this point to make sure that this movie gets made is to ask you, the listeners and fans and friends, to imagine yourself helping make this movie a reality. This is the sales pitch, of course, but it's an important one. Sadly, movies are not made in a vacuum. They require people. They require stuff. Stuff that costs money. And they require time. And time, as they say, is money. So, of course, I will take this opportunity right now to implore you, you listening right now, to consider contributing to the production of Weresquito Nazi Hunter. I'm not asking for much. The basic contribution level is $25. For $25, you get your name, or a name of your choosing, in the end credits of the film, copy of the finished film in whatever format you would like. Normally, we've been doing DVDs, but as we're moving forward into the future, not everyone wants DVDs. So I'm going to try with this one to offer not just a DVD option, but perhaps a Blu-ray option, and or perhaps a digital download option. We shall see. Right now, I'm just saying, if you contribute, you can choose to receive a copy of the film in the format of your choice, or you can have a free ticket to the world premiere next year, and you will also get a frameable certificate certifying, a certificate that certifies, nice, a certificate certifying your role in contributing to this film. Ever since we did contributor credits, people have gotten these, and I know a couple folks who have been collecting them and have gotten them year after year after year. They're very nice. They're frameable. They look very good, and they are hand-signed. They have your name on them. And if you're giving contribution credits as a gift, that's another cool thing that you can say, hey, look what you get. Not only do you get this movie and your name in the movie, but here's proof that you can hold on to forever. Also, as we have done in the past, between now and the end of the year, 2015, if you contribute, you will receive a letter signed by me signifying that you did, in fact, contribute. And this is, of course, useful if you are giving this as a gift. It's something that, you know, people can open. I hear there's a couple major gift-giving holidays coming up. So this would be something that they could open and be like, oh my gosh, look at that. My name's going to be in the end credits of a movie. How cool is that? So if you get on that now, between now and the end of the year, 2015, you will get a letter signifying your participation. So that's another plus of signing up. It's another plus of contributing. You get another cool thing. And this is a special thing, if you are a member of the Mimiverse fan club, and I know some of you listening out there are, if you contribute, you will receive a free Weresquito Nazi Hunter teaser poster, 11x17 teaser poster, that only members of the fan club will receive. Consider it your special gift for being a member of the fan club. And if you're not a member of the fan club, don't forget that you can join at any time by going to sainteuphoria.com/fanclub.html and become a member. And there are other cool things that come with being a member, including free shipping, exclusives like this, etc., etc. So, again, I want you to imagine yourself contributing to this film and becoming a part of Mimiverse history. To contribute, please visit weresquito.com, weresquito.com, or sainteuphoria, all spelled out, .com/contribute.html. Or you can simply go to sainteuphoria.com, and under the merchandise menu, the top selection is Help Us Make a Movie. Lastly, last month I talked about the possibility of making it so that folks like yourself could quote-unquote buy in to this film to become a featured extra, maybe even have a line, and be in the movie. That is still coming, but that will not come until the script is complete and I know exactly how many of these walk-on slash single line roles there are. There will be some for folks who just want to get on screen, but we're not worrying about that now. Like I said, I need to finish the script 100% before I know how many I can sell. But if you are interested, keep it in mind. It's coming. Please check out the wheresquito.com, which will take you to the contribution page, and check out saintferrer.com. We got some Wheresquito stuff thrown up there now, so you can get more information about it. You can read the official synopsis, see the cool teaser poster that will be in use until we get the official poster, which we don't get until after the movie is done. So you'll be seeing a lot of that. But just check it out, because if you want a copy of that, if you want that poster, you have to join the fan club. Okay, we're going to take a short break and get another bad joke from Dr. Bob Tesla of Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob. Now, Dr. Bob is actually trapped in another universe. If you've been following the Dr. Bob saga, you know what I'm talking about. If not, this alone, knowing that he is now trapped in another universe, should be enough for you to maybe go check out what the heck's going on. How did he get there? What's going on? What is happening? But Dr. Bob, being the best friend of the Mimiverse that he is, actually had some pre-recorded jokes. Because, you know, in his line of work, there's always the possibility that he may be sucked into an alternate reality or a, you know, a pocket universe. Who knows? I mean, stuff happens when you do the kind of crazy stuff he does. So luckily, he had pre-recorded a few jokes for us and sent them over. So we're going to play one of those. So thank you, Dr. Bob, for having the foresight enough to pre-record some jokes for us. Wherever you may be, let's hope you come home safely. So I'm going to throw it over to Dr. Bob Tesla's bad joke. And then when we come back, I will read Chapter 9 of the Canoe Cops versus the Mummy ongoing serial. This one is called Incident at the Pylons, a.k.a. The Hotel Disaster by Stephen D. Sullivan. Again, excuse my cold. I will do the best I can.
It is I, Dr. Bob Tesla, with your Mimiverse Joke of the Month. A man walks into a library, and he goes up to the librarian, and he says, I need that book that's about Pavlov's dogs and Schrodinger's cat. The librarian thinks for a moment, and she says, well, it rings a bell, but I don't know whether we have it or not. Come out November 14th for the Ohio premiere of Queen Crab from the director of Nymphoid Barbarian and Dinosaur Hell, Brett Piper. Only at the Gateway Film Center in Columbus, Ohio.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. I hope you are safe wherever you are. In the meantime, if you want more information about Dr. Bob and Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob, find them on Facebook or simply go to the Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob show. Of which, and this is pretty cool, next April 16th, Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob will be holding the second ever Mimathon. It's a 24-hour marathon of Mimiverse movies and Mimiverse-inspired stuff, including a public screening of The Bequeather by Justin Overlander, the Mimiverse-inspired comedy that Mr. Overlander made. Lots of great people will be there. I will be there. It'll be great. Let's just hope that Dr. Bob is back from whatever universe in which he currently resides. For now, we are going to continue with the Canoe Cops versus the Mummy ongoing serial that has been taking place over the last 9-10 months. It was written by Stephen D. Sullivan. Check him out at stephendsullivan.com. That's Stephen with a PH, not a V. This is Chapter 9, Incident at the Pylons, a.k.a. The Hotel Disaster. Again, I am fighting a cold and I will do my best to do the voices right. Even though I used to say I don't do the voices, but if you've been listening, you know I kind of do the voices. And I kind of have to. And I've gotten each voice worked out a little bit, where each one has its own personality. Because the way this is written, if I didn't do that, it would be really confusing. Here we go. Canoe Cops versus the Mummy, Chapter 9, Incident at the Pylons, a.k.a. The Hotel Disaster, by Stephen D. Sullivan. I know I shouldn't have been listening last night, Sven, but I was right there in the outer office and the discussion got rather loud, so what else could I do? Don't worry about it, Gustav, old buddy. If this Discussion concerns those so-called canoe cops Lars and Uli. I gotta hear it. So, dish with the delectable details. Well, as I say, I was sitting in canoe cop headquarters filling out some paperwork, you know, from that near drowning that happened at the end of my shift just before sundown. I would have gone home hours previously, but I took a break for dinner. Took a break to spend some time mooning over that waitress you like at the Attic Malt Shop, you mean. Maggie Drummond is some looker. Or did you just go out searching for that weird girl you thought you rescued in your canoe the day before yesterday? I gotta say, old buddy, I'm beginning to think you might just have a touch of sunstroke there. You even got me thinking I'd seen her yesterday morning. I'm beginning to wonder about her reality myself. But that doesn't matter right now, Sven. Nor does it matter that I had indeed, as you surmised, had dinner at the malt shop yesterday evening. Right now, the only piece of information pertinent to this tale is that I'm sitting at my desk, filling out paperwork when these oafs, Lars and Uli, burst into Canoe Cops HQ. They're soaked to the skin and both of them are panting like they've just posted record times in the Phantom Lick Paddle Patrol Marathon. "There's the chief," Lars blurts at me. "On vacation, if you'll remember," I reply. "Cut the stuff, old man," Uli snaps. "You know what Lars means. Who's the boss on duty tonight?" "I believe Lieutenant Agar resides at the top of the roster this eve." "We'll get him on the phone or radio or whatever," Lars commands with his usual lack of politeness. "We have a situation." "What kind of situation?" I inquire. "Mind your own lutefisk," Uli tells me. "We ain't going to discuss this with no underlings." Honestly, Sven, I'm well aware that this duo are of Danish origin, but if I didn't know better, I'd swear Uli learned his English from old gangster movies. "As it happens, there's no need to call the lieutenant," I inform the pair. "By coincidence, he's in his office at this very moment." "Why didn't you just tell us that?" Uli snarls. And with that, he and Lars storm across the station, throw open the door to the commander's office, and barge inside without so much as a knock. First class all the way with those two, eh, Gustav? Yes, Sven, as you say. First class for Danes, at any rate. "Lieutenant, you will not believe this," Lars begins. He's babbling so loudly that I could have heard him even if he hadn't, in his hurry, left the office door ajar. "What am I not going to believe?" Lieutenant Agar asks. And his exasperated tone tells me that already Lars and Uli are trying his patience. "We seen it," Uli puts in. "Down at the shore near Talbot's waterfront hotel. Seen, saw what?" "A mummy," Lars exclaims. "Bigger than life-size and Sappenvet." "A mummy," Lieutenant Agar replies with less skepticism than I would have expected. "And what was this mummy doing?" "At first, when we spotted the thing, it was just lumbering down the lake shore, you know," Lars says. "Uli and I were just paddling along, following our usual night patrol procedures. We thought we were seeing things," Uli explains. "Yeah," Lars agrees. "And then I was thinking, maybe this is some kind of summertime joke. Ha ha, very funny. Though it is a little early in the season for that." "Yeah," Lieutenant Agar mutters, which I wouldn't have caught at all if the door had been closed properly. "That's what Nicky and I thought, too." "What was that you said, Lieutenant?" Lars asks. "Never mind," Lieutenant Agar replies. "Go on." "So Uli and I, we couldn't believe it," Lars says. "So we paddled in closer, trying to catch up with this monster thing." "Yeah, the suspect's dead, I guess so it don't move so fast," Uli adds. "Before we were able to reach it, though," Lars says, "the suspect tromps under the piers. You know what I mean, Lieutenant, those big pylons that support the Talbot's uberstructure." "Superstructure," the lieutenant corrects, but the dim-witted Danes forge ahead. "That makes the guy harder to follow, you know," says Uli, "'cause now we got to paddle between the piers and such, and there ain't much headroom. But Uli and I, we keep at it, Chief," Lars quickly points out. "We didn't train all our lives to be the best canoe cops in the world to just become girly men when the going gets rough." "No," Lieutenant Agar agrees. "I'm sure you didn't." "We keep paddling between the pylons," Lars continues. "But it's hard to spot anything there, because the place is dark and full of shadows." "Yeah, dark shadows," Uli collaborates. "I whip out my flashlight, but that weren't much help either." "Then the both of us hear this awful creaking," says Lars. "It reminds me of sounds that I heard up north in the timber camps when I was small. It's like the crack a big tree makes before a lumberjack fells it." "I heard it too," Uli says, "and I knowed it meant no good. Let's blow this joint," I said to Lars, "before the whole Megillah falls on us." "I did not want to, but I was forced to agree," Lars says. "That sound always means you must duck and cover as fast as you can, even if nobody shouts timber." So,
Uli and I, we paddle like mad out from under the pier and back into the open water in Phantom Lake. But we seen something as we went, Uli declares.
What did you see?
Lieutenant Agar asks. Uli and I, we saw this mummy, Lars says. It was standing under the pier, like Stephen Reeves in one of those Samson movies. He's got his big hands pressed up against the pylon on either side, and this mummy, he's pressing with all his strength, and snap! Both timbers crack near in half. Then he slogs to set another set of pylons and does it again, Uli puts in excitedly. Snap, 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 Lars says, his voice getting louder each time.
Until
what? Asks Lieutenant Agar.
Crash,
Lars and Uli both exclaim. I can see their shadows through the frosted glass in the office door, and as they say it, both give a little jump and then come down with a thud.
Crash,
Lieutenant Agar says, growing alarmed.
Yeah, crash,
Lars repeats. And that whole pier, she comes tumbling right down along with the hotel on top of it.
And the wave done knocked our canoe right over,
Uli adds.
Yeah, we got soaked,
Lars concludes. You're telling me Talbot's waterfront hotel has collapsed? Lieutenant Agar exclaims.
Oh yeah, Lars says calmly, as if he were talking about a low-budget movie he's seen. The whole thing right down into the water. You should have seen the smoke and dust rising.
And that mummy-looking suspect is prowling around the ruins, Uli adds. I thought I'd seen him grab some Joe and start choking him, but he was too far away to make it out clearly.
And we got water in our eyes, Lars says.
You ninnies, Lieutenant Agar roars. The pier under Talbot's collapses, and you stand here telling me fairy stories about some mummy you may or may not have seen?
I don't blame him for being mad.
The Danes have, as they say, buried the lead. And, come to think of it, now that their preposterous story is over, I do believe that I can hear police and fire sirens wailing outside. Lieutenant Agar bursts out of his office.
Gustav, grab your canoe, he commands. We'll strap it to the top of my car, alongside mine. We've got to get to the Talbot pronto.
What's happening, Lieutenant? I ask, pretending for the nonce that I didn't hear what transpired inside his office.
There's been some kind of disaster down there, but we'll have to check it out for ourselves, he replies.
I don't trust the details these two nincompoops fed me.
Paddle up.
Aye, aye, Lieutenant.
What should we do, Chief? Lars asks.
If you're going to sleep, you might as well do it in your own beds, not on the job, Lieutenant Agar snaps.
Go home.
Aye, aye, Chief,
the pair reply with a crisp salute.
Ha, serves him right, eh, Gustav?
Indubitably. Needless to say, Sven, I didn't get much sleep last night. And I'm sure you heard on the news this morning that the Talbot Waterfront Hotel did indeed suffer a collapse. Many people were hurt, but fortunately, the whole hotel did not fall into the lake.
That'll take a long time to rebuild, won't it, Gustav?
Kind of kills the Talbot summer season, I guessed.
No doubt. The cause of the disaster remains, to this point, a mystery.
You don't think those dunces could be right about a mummy causing it, do you?
Myself, I would doubt the report of the Mad Danes if it were not for one salient detail, one which, up till now, has not been released to the press. Only a single corpse was discovered amid the wreckage.
The body belonged to Dr. Cecil Zuko, the museum director you met at the diner yesterday, Sven. And he had not been crushed to death in the collapse. Rather, early reports indicate that he was strangled.
Brr, that's a ghost story fit for telling around a campfire, Gustav.
Indeed. Perhaps even more so because it is true.
Okay, I get everything you told me, and I heard about the rest on the news, but here's the important question. In all the time you were out there, from the middle of the night until dawn, did you see anything unusual? Anything ancient Egyptian-like, old buddy?
No, Sven, I'm sorry to admit that in all that time I did not catch one glimpse of a mummy, not even a single strand of moldy wrapping.
That's too bad, Gustav, old chum. Spotting that mummy yourself would have been a heck of a story to impress that waitress.
The end. Fantastic. I love where this is going. And don't forget, every month we have a new chapter of this, and Mr. Sullivan has promised to continue this for, I think he said, upwards of 20-plus chapters. We're in chapter 9 now, so we got at least another year of this coming up. So let's do it. Thank you again for listening. Please contribute to Where Skeeto Nazi Hunter by visiting whereskeeto.com. Don't forget that next March, March 9th, on Monster Day, we will be celebrating the 10th anniversary release of The Monster of Phantom Lake with the release of The Monster of Phantom Lake in 3D. We're going to have a party. You should be there. Also, don't forget that we are still working on The Monster of Phantom Lake, the musical. The script is done. The music is done. We're in the process of putting together a Kickstarter. Please consider contributing to that, too. Putting on a play does cost a lot of money, but there's going to be some really cool stuff. And that should be next summer. So, in essence, 2016 is going to be a big year for the Mimiverse, which makes some sense, being that it's the 10th anniversary of the release of the movie that started all the Monster Phantom Lake, it makes sense that we're going to be doing some really cool stuff. From the release of the 3D version, the Mimathon in April, the Monster Phantom Lake the musical next summer, followed by the release of the newest Mimiverse movie, Were-Skeeto, Nazi Hunter. Again, thank you very much for listening, and don't forget, as I always say, be good, but if you can't do that, be good at it. Thanks for listening.